Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You want to explain the bump music, Jake Gutierrez?
Is it that hard to explain?
No, just, you know, I like to hear you. I like to hear you talk about things.
Well, this is David Bowie. The song called "Changes." Things are changing in the college football landscape.
Have you not listened? Nate doesn't want changes.
Well, they're coming whether you like them or not.
My religion teacher, Mr. Schneeweis, in high school used to always tell me that the only permanent thing in your life is change, so you might as well get used to it.
That's right.
You are delivering a message to Nate. Things are changing whether you like it or not. And to talk about it,
I love Bowie.
We are going to talk to John Kirby of JayhawkSlant.com. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, Stephen. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Nate is not. And I look, you come on the show every week during the season, and so you understand the dynamic of the show. But the last couple of days, Nate has been very emotional. He's been all over the map. He has demanded entry into the Mountain West Conference. Now he's turned his back on the Mountain West Conference after a flirtation with them early in the week. Now he's reluctantly agreed to join the Big Ten Conference,
no,
even though Adam Teicher and Jeff Chedid don't want him in the Big Ten Conference. And then we find out all he really wants is for Bob Bowlesby to wake up sometime this afternoon and try to get some other teams to join the Big 12 Conference and keep the band together. And so if you would, take some time. Can you talk Nate through this? I'm not sure what he wants, to be honest with you. I know he no longer wants Texas. Is that right? He said, go on, get out of here.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't want to have anything to do. I wouldn't want Texas anywhere near my league. They've destroyed every league they've been a part of. They're a cancer. They are
right.
A disaster. They have ruined everything that I love about college athletics and the conference that I grew up liking and the Big Eight. So I wouldn't want anything to do with them. But I would love to see these eight teams stay together and add some teams that actually want to be in the league and start new where everybody's on equal footing and treated the same. Which is a novel idea that they've actually done in other leagues. Yes, I would. Yeah. That's what I want. I want a Midwestern conference that makes sense geographically with teams that want to be there. And I think that could work.
To Texas, he says, "Don't let the door hit you, or the good Lord
hit
you." And then, Jake has him kind of turned on by the idea of going to the ACC. So really, it's all out there for Nate to try to figure out what the hell he wants to do. John Kirby, please take several minutes and try to talk some sense into Nate and tell him what's going to happen. Thank you.
You know, Stephen, Nate's usually a pretty easy guy to please, right? I mean,
not really. Not at all.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah. No, sir.
Oh, I get it. Sarcasm.
Hey, Stephen, I'll start off with the first thing. The last thing you just mentioned about, you know, eight schools staying together and picking up guys to stay in the conference, okay? And when you look at that, you know, I've talked to some past people who've been at KU who were part of realignment, you know, over the last 10 years in the discussions. I've got a lot of info, kind of things that happened on the back end on some of these that were really in play. And I think that what the people tell me is they think one of the best options would be for those eight to pick up four. Okay. Now the four are fairly clear, at least the first two or three are. One of them would be Central Florida, okay? They've been described to me as like an up-and-coming, the rock star program that people are going to start looking at. 72,000 students, largest university in the country. The average alumni age is 37. They're a young school. Last year, their incoming freshman class had a SAT combined score of like 1320. They just took over Florida. Orlando is now the largest TV market in the state. They just passed Miami. So, I mean, you know, somebody like that is a program that's teetering on Power 5 numbers right now. Then you go get somebody like Cincinnati, add Houston. You get them for their TV market. You know, they've turned out good athletic teams. So You know, that fourth name is always up for discussion. You know, we've heard BYU, but then, you know, I've talked to people about that, and they say, I don't know, BYU's all, they're difficult to deal with, their administration's tough to work with, and they've got a reputation that doesn't exactly sometimes sit well with administration. You know, you've got an SMU out there, possibly a Memphis. So if the Big 12 could take those, could take their eight, pick up four guys who are right on the border of Power Five type conferences now, you know, it could be a solid conference. The problem that's going to come with that, Stephen, is the Big 12 just distributed $35 million to its members for the TV contract. Bowlesby said that next year, this coming year, they're expecting around 40. The people that I've talked to think that the Big Eight picking up four schools would probably garner a TV contract maybe somewhere around 20, okay? So now you're cutting your TV revenues in half. So, I mean, that's going to be a problem for the, you know, for schools and athletic budgets.
I mean, but what's the alternative? I mean, the alternative is everybody scatters and tries to go their own way, right?
Well, the alternative is you just sit back and pray and wait that Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC triggers the other three Power Five conferences now to get into a rat race and then start picking up teams, okay? Because I know when you talk to Kansas fans and listen to what their real wishes are, if this all falls apart, they all think the Big Ten is the best conference. And I know for a fact there have been talks or discussions in the past when conference realignment was going on with Kansas and the Big Ten. I've heard things that, you know, 10 years ago, the Big Ten thought, you know, hey, you guys need to, you know, upgrade facilities. Well, look what Kansas has done there. They got a new soccer stadium, new track, new softball, new golf, new tennis facilities. So, you know, I don't know if Kansas has become more attractive to the Big Ten, but, Nate, if this becomes a deal where they all start pushing each other and say, we're going to race to get the 16, or we're going to expand because the SEC did and we don't want to fall too far behind them. If it becomes an open race, then that's good news for KU. Because if the three conferences all start looking to add, be near the top of the list that they're all looking for.
So why is that? Why would they be more attractive than some of the other schools that might be left out?
Well, first of all, start with the Big Ten. Okay, you all know and have talked about it. The things they look for, you've got to be congruent to a current Big Ten state, which Kansas is. They want AAU members. Kansas is. Of the schools left, Nate, that are out there, Kansas profile probably fits the Big Ten as well or better than anybody else. You know, I keep seeing something about, you know, Iowa State in the picture for that. But you've already got Iowa, okay? So Iowa already brings you the state. Now, Iowa State's a quality school. They're an AAU member as well. But Kansas brings you something new, okay? So when you start looking at the candidates that the Big Ten would look at, I mean, Kansas would have to be one or two. And then when the other conferences start into it, I know for a fact, Nate, in the past, the ACC had talks with Kansas years ago. One of the problems that they brought up was geographics, that, you know, you've got schools in New York, Boston College, Florida, East Coast. You know, the ACC was concerned with travel and proximity of Lawrence compared to their member base. Well, that hasn't changed, okay? Lawrence is still in Lawrence. So, you know, I don't know if the ACC would then say, okay, everybody's racing to pick up teams. Listen, Kansas fits what we want to do. We know they're not close. We know it's not ideal. But we still feel they're better than what a lot of our conference. Let's go back and look at them.
We have John Kirby from Jayhawkslant.com on the show. And yesterday, we were talking about Oklahoma and Texas formally notifying the SEC that they're seeking an invitation for membership. And we read the release from Bob Bowlesby in response to that. what's the timeline here? I know that Texas and OU stated in the letter that they intend to remain in the Big 12 through June 30th, 2025, when the current Big 12 media rights deal expires. But that doesn't guarantee they won't find a way to leave before then. Obviously, there's a very hefty penalty that they'd have to pay. But we all know they're going to the SEC. But when do you think they're going to go to the SEC?
Hey, you just that million-dollar question. I mean, because, you know, there's no way they're staying in 2025. Okay, I mean, that's not going to happen. The question is, I've seen things and talked to people that say they may try to speed things up and get in the SEC as early as next year, okay? Well, that leaves a major problem for the remaining eight Big 12 schools. I mean, you've got to figure out what your football schedule is going to be. I mean, that's coming up 1 year from now. I mean, you talk about getting under a rock and behind the eight ball there. That would be quite a challenge if your conference – you know, you don't know what you're going to play your football games and who you're going to play against. I don't see it last until 2025. Here's the other thing, Steven, that goes in with that. That gives you 4 years. I guarantee you the other schools are going to be looking. Okay? So if you're going to keep this thing together for 4 years, you're going to have all these schools working to find a home. And, hey, that could be what Texas and Oklahoma want, too, is they want to create some chaos to where Kansas goes out and lands in a conference. Oklahoma State goes out and lands in a conference, and now all of a sudden the Big 12 dissolves, and maybe they don't have to pay as much money as they wanted to get out of it if that's what happened to the conference.
So Bob Bowlesby's got to act fast. I mean, if they're going to do this thing that you mentioned about, you know, try to add four teams to the group of eight right now, they've got to do it like ASAP, right? And get all of the commissioners in the big, or the athletic directors in the Big 12 on board right away before they all start scattering. So wouldn't you expect this to happen pretty quickly for the Big 12 if it's going to happen at all?
Absolutely. But Nate, it goes back to what Steven just asked about the timing. What really happens here? I mean, if this thing comes out, listen, Texas, we're talking about this buyout fee that it would cost them to get out of the league before 2025, okay? I don't know what that final amount's going to get settled on, but let's face it, guys, Texas can write the check tomorrow, okay, whatever that is. I don't know about Oklahoma, but I know Texas, whatever that amount is, they have no problem paying it. They're on a whole different level when it comes to money from everybody else. So if it happens fast, Nate, then yes, the Big 12 is going to have to move super fast if that's what the plan's going to be. It all comes back to Stephen's question. How fast does Texas and Oklahoma get out of the league?
We're visiting with John Kirby. So for Kansas, John, I have been, I'm a fan of Travis Goff. I think he's, you know, I've liked everything he's had to say and what he seems to stand for as the hire. I like the hire he made at football coach. Pretty much everybody we've seen that covers college football likes the hire of Leipold as the football coach there. But, you know, Goff was walking into a tough enough job. With all of the NCAA investigation issues that he's inheriting with the basketball program and otherwise, and the task of trying to turn around a football program that's just been repetitively driven into the ground by his predecessors, that's a big job right there. Then this bombshell gets dropped in his lap. He's never been an AD before. You know, what kind of a challenge is this for a young first-time athletics director to have to deal with this on top of everything that he was already walking into at Kansas?
Well, Nate, yeah, he walked into the fire, right? I mean, how many ADs are hired, what, April, okay? And then they have to go out and hire a football coach their first 10 days on the job, okay? So just not only that, it's the timing of finding a football coach, okay? So that first month, Goff doesn't even get to be the AD, okay? He's not even – he can barely focus on what ADs do in a day-to-day operation because he's out – his focus is finding a football coach. Then he finally comes back after that's done, and he gets, you know, a few weeks to get his feet on the ground and finally start working on what an athletic director does, and then this hits. Yeah, it's a challenge. A couple things. You talked about hires. Great hire he made with Jason Booker. You know, that is that will help him out a lot. I think Jason Booker knows the landscape and definitely knows Kansas. That will be a welcome addition to the athletic department. But one thing I do want to say, Nate, and I've talked to enough people about this, this stuff is done at the president's and chancellor's level, okay? So the big talks that happen very rarely involve the athletic director. I just heard a story the other day that a school that moved into a conference, there had been talks going on for 3 months about moving before this athletic director ever knew it was going on. The president was talking with other presidents, and then they got the league commissioner involved. And then as things started getting heating up and getting closer to it, the athletic director was finally brought into what was going on. So I'm just saying, yeah, Travis Goff, it is a challenge. I think he's a young, sharp guy who understands Kansas. He understands Kansas athletics. Hey, he understands the Big Ten. So he'll do fine. He'll be fine. But a lot of this is going to be negotiated and worked by Gerard, the chancellor.
John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant has been our guest. And I'll wrap this up with, again, making a tremendous effort to try to calm Nate and make him feel better, because that's what I do. That's what I spend most of the time doing on the show, placating whatever, you know, to Nate. You mentioned Lance Leipold and how everyone feels like it was a really, really good hire. And we've had people from the local perspective, national perspective, covering college football that have raved about him. And so, and I know Nate gets upset about football and where can they be more competitive. And I've just tried to make the point, it doesn't matter what conference you're in. If you got the right coach, he's going to be successful. Whereas, you know, this version of Les Miles or Charlie Wyatt or Turner Gill, probably that wasn't going to work no matter where you were. And so tell Nate some good things about Lance Leipold that suggest that this hire will be different and he will be able to succeed at Kansas.
Well, Stephen, I've had some chances to talk with Nate off the air, definitely, and I'll tell you guys what I've told Nate privately is that everybody that I've talked to, I've gotten to know several members on KU staff, I've gotten to know Leipold. It's very organized. It is a very organized, structured system, and that's what he brings. He knows everything that's going on in his program. He knows every graphic that's being sent out to recruits. He knows everything down to the meals that they're eating that's been put together for the week. It's kind of what he is. You know, he just goes about his business. You don't see him out posting a lot on social media. You know, there's a little bit of a feel, Stephen, to Mark Mangino here. The way he goes about his organization and how much he has got his thumb on so many things in the program and knows what's going on in all facets. So I really think that he is the type of hire. You guys, when I went on your show, back when they started the search, the first name out of my mouth was Lance Leipold, okay? And I know the questions came up, really, you're going to go back to Buffalo again? And I said, that has nothing to do with the hire. You go get the best organized fit you can for your program. And I think he fits that mold. I know they've been grinding this summer. He's a worker. I mean, those guys have been going 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. all summer. And I know college coaches usually get, you know, that's when they can recharge their batteries. But they've been going hard all summer long.
Nate, there you go.
I'm on board. I told you, I've been on board with Leipold since day one, and I love hearing, because KU has tried the sizzle thing a few times here in a row. Flashy talk, you know, a big brash recruiter, all that stuff. That's not how you win. That's not how you're going to win in Kansas. You got to outwork people at Kansas if you want to win in football. You got to be more disciplined, more organized. All those things, and Leipold seems to tick all the boxes. I'm excited about him. I am.
Well, Nate, I'll tell you, I'll leave you with this story. I talked to a named Daniel Kalen the other day. He's a quarterback in the 2024 class from Nebraska. He'll probably be one of the more highly recruited, you know, kids in that class. he's already picked up Florida State, Nebraska, Arizona State, KU. I mean, he's pulling in the offers for a kid in a 2024 class. He took his visit to Kansas on Sunday, and he came back and told me, he said it was the most organized visit that he's been on. So,
God, I love hearing that.
There's some pretty good schools this kid's already visited, and like I said, he's only in the 2024 class. But when he says stuff like that, those are little things that, you know, catch your attention.
Do you like hearing those stories more or less than the Charlie Weiss recruiting stories I used to tell you? Nate, which one do you like better?
Oh, Charlie Weiss is going to throw his Super Bowl rings out on the table, and every recruit in the country was going to come lining up to play at Kansas. You know, and it just ain't going to work that way. And here's the thing. They might not get this kid from Nebraska that you're talking about, John, but you get the sense that every kid that they recruit is going to have that type of experience. And all of a sudden, some kids who might not have taken Kansas seriously before, you know, it might take them seriously. And more importantly, I feel like if there are players who are willing to consider Kansas, they're not going to fall through the cracks the way they have in the past. When I have to watch stories about guys that are starting at K-State who wanted to go to Kansas and never got a sniff. Okay? Because you know what? Most kids that grow up in Kansas now don't dream of playing at Kansas. They dream of playing at K-State. But every once in a while, there's a kid in the state of Kansas who has family ties to KU or grew up a KU fan or whatever. That kid shouldn't fall through the cracks. You have to have a coaching staff that is hardworking enough and disciplined enough to cover all their bases. And that's not about being flashy and I'm going to have a good relationship with every coach in Texas, or I'm going to throw my Super Bowl rings out on the table and convince five-star recruits to come play for me. That isn't going to work. You know, you've got to get all the kids that could possibly grow into good players to convince them to come to your school because you haven't won anything in 10 years. So anyways, I just love hearing that, JK. I mean, that's the kind of coach that Kansas has needed, and I'm glad they've got one now. Thank you.
You got it.
John Kirby, mission accomplished, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, guys. Take care.
Poor John.
That's John Kirby for Geog's Land.
He had to talk me off the ledge for like an hour last night on the phone. And then he had to turn around and do it again this morning. So it's good. It's good. I appreciate JK.
I bet he's pretty happy with you.
Do you think so?
Sure he is.
I bet it's, you know what, he got it done for him though. As well.
Look, John, I'll say this for John. That guy deserves some sort of like, you know, extra pay for the way he has diligently covered that program over all these years. Because that has not necessarily been a lot of fun for the past 10 years, and he's done it the whole time. He's awesome. But, love JK.
In what regard?
Yeah, right.
It's a good question. In what regard?
Well,
we'll take a break. go on. What are you going to say now?
He's seen the coaches that have won at Kansas. Yeah, and there have been coaches that have won at Kansas. It's hard to explain that to my 11-year-old son because he's never seen it. But it was also funny because it was hard to explain. My son and I were listening.
If your son was 20, it'd be hard to explain it to
him,
too.
They would have seen the team go to the Orange Bowl.
Barely.
But on the drive to practice yesterday, we were listening to Petro talking about conference realignment, and my son's like, "So what is this all about?" And it dawned on me. I had to explain.
You should have said dollar signs.
Dollar signs. That's what it's all about.
Dollar signs.
But I did. It dawned on me that my son, who's about to go to middle school, doesn't know that we have. You know, we used to be in the same league as Missouri. Like they were like the biggest rival of our school's history.
But doesn't know what the hell you're talking about.
It's crazy. It's been that long. It's
does that upset you?
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, it does. But what, again, like you've said, what am I going to do about it? I can sit here and curse at the clouds, talk about how great things used to be. And they were, by the way. The Big Eight was awesome. And I think everybody that lived through it loved the Big Eight. But it isn't. It's not like that anymore. So it is what it is. Move on and find the best place you can find.
My boys are old enough to understand that they were part of it. They're still part of it. The girls, no idea what I'm talking about.
Right,
they don't get it, and they're sports. I mean, you know.
Yeah, why? Selena's, why would they understand it? They haven't lived through it. You don't understand things you didn't live through.
So I just tell her things that make her understand.
Right
now, she gets it. Now she understands, Nate.
Does she?
I don't know. Probably not. I think she does a really good job of sitting next to me and acting with eye contact like she's listening to me, and I'm quite sure she tunes me out as soon as she finds out it's something she doesn't want to hear about like that. Hey, you know, we used to play Missouri used to play Kansas all the time, and there's a big rivalry and this and that, and then she's just, you know, she's looking at the wall waiting for me to stop talking. So
You're talking about old things that I don't care about.
Right. Sometimes I just need to get her off my chest, all right? She's a good listener. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jake the GM will return as we are going to take a look. There's a gentleman by the name of Adam Teicher. I'd like to have him on the show every week, Jake.
He'll be on next Monday.
For ESPN. Sure. And he is given, on the day that camp officially begins, he has given us his position breakdown of who he projects to make the final 53-man roster. So we're going to go through the positions, and I want to see if you guys agree with Adam Teicher, or if after you listen to the position groups that he projects, do you have any concerns about any spots on the team? We'll take a break and talk Chiefs after this on WHB.